Take two. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Neighborly Discourse with Billy and Steve. I am Billy.
And I am Steve. I missed my what's up, what's up.
Well, you got it there. What's going on, man?
Dude, Sunday's game had me on the edge of my seat.
Yes.
And it was like, I was sitting there thinking, is Billy nervous at any point? Because they closed within 6 points, 5 points?
Yeah, they came within about single digits for sure, midway third quarter. But right. No, I'm not nervous at all because mainly it's about the playoffs, the regular season. It is what it is. We did not have our top scorer. My co-coach Jackson, his kid wasn't there.
Right.
And that's a big deal. You know, he's easily the best scorer on our team.
Okay.
You know, his only real drawback is himself. He takes bad shots. He likes to between the back, spin through, and get ripped once in a while rather than just make the smart play.
Right.
You know, he wants to look good rather than play good.
Right.
So he wasn't there. So if we lost, it wouldn't be a big deal.
Right, right. But I'm not even asking you about the emotional trauma of losing. I'm just saying, like, just the fact that, hold on a second, I got a good team.
Yeah.
This squad shouldn't be able to handle this. Did you feel like, hold on a second, this is getting a little closer than comfort?
Close
for comfort?
No, because when we were playing defense, our two wings kept coming up, and their two kids kept going behind them. And no matter how many times I told them, back up, they were in the wrong position.
Okay.
So if we lost, it was not having our top scorer and kids playing out of position.
Okay. And how's the other kid that was in there? How's his defense?
He's great. He's good at defense, fantastic passer, all around great basketball player.
Okay.
Now, for the next three games, he's not going to be there. He's got something going on family-wise, and they happen to put in a weekday game, so that's the third game he's going to miss, or the second game. But we play every Sunday. He would miss the two Sundays. We have a Thursday game, so he's going to miss that.
So here's my observation, because, you know, I watch more basketball than anything else.
Which we're going to talk about based on what you said last time, because your issue with the NFL is far worse in the NBA. It's not even close.
But listen, it's funny. I don't think it ever made it to air, my issue with the NFL.
Yeah, dude. It was the episode I released this morning.
And I actually said why. I never said why I had an issue with
the
NFL.
The issue. No, you never said it. Okay. But I know your issue with the NFL.
Okay.
And your issue with the NFL is much worse in the NBA than it is in the NFL.
I agree.
And you watch because you like basketball. I watch football because I don't like basketball.
You don't? This is the first time I'm hearing this.
Well, no. I didn't like basketball to begin with, but I enjoyed when the Heat were doing well. LeBron was here, all that fun stuff. That's
I never
cool.
knew that. I mean,
I never watched
11
basketball
years
before that.
Of knowing you, this is the first time
So
I must have been boring the heck out of you every time I talk about basketball.
No, because when we moved in, it was, 2010? LeBron came here in 11, I think. Like, basketball was kicking. So it was right from the beginning.
Okay.
And then I watched after that because I was into it. You know, I enjoyed it. I would take Liam to the games, all this stuff. But once they started their social nonsense, I wasn't a big fan to begin with. Now you're really going to turn me off. I'm done.
Okay.
Football. I mean, I'm there from time to time.
Right.
But they're going to get me until there's really like, I just can't take it. I'm going to ride with football. It's my sport that I like the most.
Right. I can't stand this wokeism. My friend Jeff.
You watch sports to get away from that crap.
In fact, Jeff, you know Jeff.
Yeah.
You go back and forth on Facebook.
Jeff, I don't know if you heard this last time. I didn't know it was you. I'm talking to him like he's a nice person. Not to say he's not, but hey, you know, I appreciate the conversation. Thanks for the comments. Always feel free. Had I known it was Jeff, I'm like, Jeff, what's up, man? You know, it would have been a little more lively conversation.
Listen, so he made this comment like, I'm not going to watch any football until I meet a person who knows the Black National Anthem. Because he was so fed up with this nonsense. He said, I'm not watching any football until I meet somebody. Because it was preposterous, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea what it is. And then
nobody does. It's not real.
Someone that works at our church knows it and sung it for him. And it's like, but listen, but this particular person is kind of woke, you know? And, so if there was going to be anybody at our church who was going to be able to know this song, it would be this person, you know? But, yeah, he can't stand
it. And FYI, the Black National Anthem is divisive.
It's divisive and it's racist.
That's my point.
It's racist.
They're doing it because they assume the National Anthem. It's not. The National Anthem is like America. You get out what you put in. It's a flag. It's an anthem for our country. You're part of this country whether you like it or not. And one of the great things about America is people don't like hearing this, but you don't have to stay here. Well, you can leave.
But listen, but that I want to go backwards when you said that, you know, we're all Americans. That's the problem with intersectionality. That's the problem with wokeism, is that we've come to this place. The other side has come to this place with, like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not American. I'm black. Screw it. I'm not American. I'm white. Screw it. I'm I'm this.
You're
it's like,
American.
No. You lead with American.
And listen, the people who are preaching that crap to you behind closed doors, they're raking in the money from all of these scams they got going on. I'll let you at one point today or another time talk about your thoughts on BLM and how you think it's a scam.
Oh, my goodness.
The point is, these people are pushing something that these gullible people are buying into behind closed doors. You know, look at it as like an old TV show. They're drinking their brandy, smoking their cigars with top hats on. Ha, 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 ha. Look what we're doing to these people out here. And that's really what I think is what's going on.
My cousin, who is a Democrat for sure, right? In fact, one of my last political conversations with him is why I started to change my thought process in terms of how I engage when it comes to politics.
Yeah.
Because it was such a passionate conversation. My kids were really, really young, and they were scared. They thought we were going to come to blows. I was like, what are you talking about? Later on, they told me this.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about? But it was that vehement or that passionate conversation that they thought that. So I had to change the way I spoke about politics. Anyway. I remember way back when, we're talking more than 10 years ago, he said to me, Steve, do you really think Democrat or Republican really exists? Like in the...
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what he's saying. And I 100%.
At the time, I was so naive. I was like, what are you talking about? You
know? I agree with that.
But now, I mean, I've been so become, my eyes have been opened so wide that
and
I realize it.
Regardless of what people want to hear, there's only one person responsible for opening up everybody's eyes, and it's Trump. He doesn't like Mitch McConnell, who's head of the something or other Republican
Senate.
Yeah, but he calls him out because he's one of these elitists. Every couple of years, it's like they sit in the back room, they roll the dice. All right, what are we going to do this year? We're going to go Republican. Okay, let's see what lands on four. It can be Republican for 4 years. If it lands on eight, we'll give them 8 years. Did roll the dice? Boom. All right, 8 years, we're going for 8 years. You know, they roll the dice with Hillary. All right, we'll get her up there. But nobody told Trump about this. So he got in there. He's like, no, I wasn't part of your game. I'm new to the scene, which is why they wanted him out, which is why they did everything they could to make you hate him, because he took them away from their game for 4 years. They couldn't have us seeing how scummy they are. And people, please, this isn't a you have to like Trump rant. You have to understand what he did. He showed you that all of them, the upper elites of any political party, are the problem with the country. That's what he did. And if you cannot find it in your brain to see it and acknowledge that, I mean, you're part of the problem.
I'm going to let you listen to something that is going to... Billy, you're going to appreciate this, and it's going to back up everything you just said. You ready?
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer. CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer. Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer. ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer. Making a difference. Brought to you by Pfizer. CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer. Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer. Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front, brought to you by Pfizer. This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
Listen, it keeps going.
I know it does. You guys can't hear my smile.
It keeps going. It is ridiculous.
So listen,
hold on. I gotta give you your props, because when we first started this, you were going off on these medical companies and how Trump and it's interesting. Well, I'm sorry. You were going off on these medical companies, these pharmaceutical companies, and how they needed to make their money back because when Trump came in, he stopped the spigot.
Yeah,
he was money going out.
That was preview shows 4 or 5 months ago before we started this real
stuff.
And now listen, people, we've talked about it. I told you so person. But now when it comes to something important, this is something I did not want to be right about. And again, we're guessing I'm right because we say it's about money, not about the protection of the people. It sponsored 10 ads Steve just showed, Pfizer did. So they have to
and there was more. I didn't even play it all. There's more.
And so the point is, this is something I don't want to be right about. This shows that these people don't care. They're only about the money. And I hope you can see that too. We're not up here boasting and bragging. Look at us. This is a problem. This isn't, I'm glad I'm right. This is, man, this sucks. Look at what they're doing. Did you see on Yahoo today?
What's that?
Again, we always ask you guys to go for, what is it called? Peer-reviewed articles.
Right.
Just the headline. In secret vaccine contracts with governments, Pfizer took hard line and push for profit, report says.
Wow.
So I'm not going to read you the article.
This is Yahoo.
This is Yahoo. This is, and it came from a site. What's it called here? I'm not sure. But it's something overseas. They cited some UK reports. They cited a bunch of stuff. One thing in here says that two governments backed out, said Pfizer's like they're, you know, mafia, you know, breaking our knees over here type stuff. They eventually, you know, worked the deal out, but they're asking for collateral in the countries that they're working in.
Wow.
So one of the examples they gave was like Pfizer coming saying, here, we're going to give you this, but if we don't like it, we get the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
That was one of the examples cited in here. Now, somebody from Pfizer came out, you know, that's patently false, da 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 da. But all of the contracts they find are all redacted. This one wasn't. And it showed in there. And again, this is on Yahoo. Adam Taylor, I can't think of the thing, but go search it up. Pfizer contracts with governments and read about it. It was reported by a Public Citizen, a consumer rights advocacy group from, I think they're here in America. There's another site here from the UK. That they are strong-arming countries
so
to take their vaccine, or we're going to do X, Y, and Z.
So I want to crystallize this for you guys. We are saying, we the people. This show is about we the people. We're saying we need to take our country back. And whom do we need to take it back from? We need to take it back from these powerful, mega-rich people who think they know better than us, who has a problem with our democracy, who has a problem with our republic, and they want to be able to tell us what to do from top to bottom. They want to make as much money as they can and step on our neck as they go through it.
So real quick, I'm skimming through. Though Pfizer did not accept government funding through Operation Warp Speed, it received huge advance orders from the United States. It opposed an intellectual property waiver that could have meant sharing its technology.
Look at that.
So they came out first with this vaccine, people air quotes, to help people air quotes, for safety air quotes. And they said, no, we're not sharing this with anybody. We're keeping it to ourselves.
Yep.
Come on, man. What else you guys have to hear?
But listen, so Pfizer is a business. We expect that out of our businesses.
Yes.
We don't expect it out of our politicians. We don't. We send them. We the people. We send them to Washington. But as soon as they get to Washington, they lose their cotton picking mind. And all we're asking is wake up. Wake up and realize it. On both sides of the aisle, wait, because like Billy, he just brought up Mitch McConnell, head of the Senate, the minority Senate. He clashed with Trump all the time. Why? Because Trump was standing in the way of his money.
Yeah. That's all these guys care about. Here's another quick thing, and I'm going to jump off this. Pfizer has formalized 73 deals for its coronavirus vaccine. So that's 73 different countries, okay? They are, and again, a example in here was, hey, collateral is if you don't accept it or it goes wrong or you don't meet the quoted price,
right?
We get the Grand Canyon. So they would find different areas of these countries. We need to make this money back. Here's the collateral that if you don't meet this price, we're going to get this. Now, when the spokesman came out, fair here, that's all wrong. But every single contract that was found was all redacted except for one. And it showed all of the ridiculous things they were asking about. Go research it yourself, please.
Next time we meet, and because there's so much to talk about that I'm not going to talk about today, but first of all, shout out to Herb, co-producer of the show. I love these secret producers of the show that send me information so I can talk about
it. Yeah.
But he sent me information talking about our drug crisis and how diabolical it is that we spend what we spend on drugs in the United States.
Yeah, it is.
And I have an article. I'm going to bring it in. We'll post it, but I'm not going to talk about it now because it's going to take over the whole show.
All right.
But Herb gave me that information. Also, shout out to Eddie. We got a fan, man. Eddie listens to every show, and he's like quoting things back to me.
Eddie, our neighbor?
No, another Eddie. Okay. Another Eddie. Eddie Munez. And shout out to you, Eddie, man. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening to the show. And all you guys who just give me information to say when I come in here, and sometimes I give you credit, sometimes I don't, and I apologize, but thanks for sending me information, and I'll definitely come and speak about it if I can remember. But there's always so much to talk about. Okay, did you hear about Trump's new platform?
No, you sent me something about it yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. So this dude is coming out with a platform called Truth Social.
Yes.
That's the name of the platform. And I don't know if it's going to be like a Twitter, if it's going to be like a Facebook, a combination of both, maybe some Instagram in there. I don't know. But I want you to think about this for a second. This dude had, I want to say, like 20 million followers.
Yeah. Like one of the tops, if not the highest.
The highest,
on Twitter,
like
yeah.
Ridiculous. But Facebook was multi-million too, tens yeah. of millions as well. Between the two platforms, by far, he was far and away one of the largest influencers by being on social
media. Yeah, and they're trying to silence him by taking. So the fact that he's going to make his own, he's going to reach the people they're trying to get him to stop reaching. And their efforts are going to be for naught.
And consider that. We talked about this last time. In fact, we talked to you about our plight with Facebook right now that we're facing. But consider this for a second. This dude is the president of the United States.
Yeah.
And they want to censor him. Again, you're saying that we are not smart enough to be able to determine what's true and what's not true. And even if we believe the lie, so what?
And going with the censoring stuff, because again, I'm going to keep saying this, and I'm sorry to narrate the show. I don't want to keep harping on the Facebook stuff. But just the other day, before I got kicked off and I was on Instagram, do you know how many people on there? Screw Colin Powell, warmonger, burn in hell, you're going to, you know, rot forever. But that's okay. That's part of the community rules where you can say, burn in hell, you warmonger, I hope you rot in hell forever. That's okay. But if you say something like, hey, man, Trump's cool, whoa, you're done. You know what I mean? Like, pay attention.
That's crazy.
And even you guys who support this stuff, even that you can't be okay with.
Listen, what I've learned about... So, hold on. Let's back up. We need to get away from the hyperbolic rhetoric and just talk. So, it's not just emotions, but it's incendiary words like burn in hell, warmonger. And if you know anything about Colin Powell, which by the way, I'm not a fan of Colin Powell, but he was against the war.
Yeah.
He didn't want to invade Iraq. Even though at the time he didn't know the information was false, he still didn't want to invade Iraq because he said, like, once you invade Iraq, then what?
Yeah. And then that's the thing. They say you've pushed this false war. It's been well documented. He was given bad information.
But listen, even
he's a human being.
But even with the bad information, he didn't want to go.
But still, the fact that he pushed it, he was pushing a false narrative. He didn't know it was wrong. They're holding him accountable for doing that.
Right.
Like, listen, he was told to do something. He did it. He didn't have all the facts. As a soldier, they'll all tell you, give me the order, I do the order. It's not my job to question, it's my job to follow.
Right.
And he did it. And people, again, 20, 30 years later, they're still going after him now that he's dead, piling on. People are disgusting.
Yeah.
These are the people you side with.
And to your point.
Democrats.
These guys. No, listen. They're Republicans. I remember Jeff again.
Yeah.
His mom is super conservative, right? It's funny. She's conservative. She's like a libertarian. She's like you.
Right.
In terms of the social issues, she's really loosey-goosey. But when it comes to politics and policies, she's all about it, right? But she can't stand Democrats. Literally can't stand Democrats. Can't even like have a conversation with them. And her son, to prove a point, because she always rags on Democrats, and he wanted to show her that, listen, you're the mirror image of what you don't like.
Exactly.
And I'm going to prove it to you. And she said, go ahead. He said, tell me one good thing about President Obama. She couldn't think of anything. I mean, was scratching her head. Left the room, wasn't willing to finish the conversation, was not willing to finish the conversation because she could not think of one thing positive to say about him. And all I can tell you is that if we've reached a place, like even Donald Trump,
I've said that thousands of times.
I can spend an hour talking about the negative things that I don't like about Trump. I can really spend time on it and you'd be surprised. You question whether or not I'm a Republican or not after I finish my tirade on Trump if I wanted to. But if you're going to be honest, you have to say that he was a successful president.
Yeah.
Forget about whether people liked him or not. I can care less about that, right? I'm talking about in terms of policies that went through, things that he actually got done. He got it done when he had both parties against him.
Yes, and that's what people don't realize either. Everyone was against him.
Everybody was against him. He was the entire time, one arm behind his back. In fact, I listened to something the other day that said that the Obama machinery was still in Washington for the first 2 years of Trump's election, time in office.
Yeah.
He still had to fight and contend with the ghost of Obama within his own administration.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That is crazy. And so now here you are. He gets censored. He gets thrown out. No respect whatsoever. These oligarchs. No respect. And this proves the point. Because think about this. Trump is rich, right? He's richer than any of us.
Yeah.
And then some. Combine our wealth together, and he's probably richer than all of us, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But he's still broke compared to the people that I'm talking to you about. The ones who I'm calling oligarchs. The ones that I'm telling you are the ones who actually are in charge. The shadow government. He's nothing compared to him. He's on the outside.
Yeah.
In fact, if Trump wanted to come in and capitulate and roll with the punches, he would have been fine. I mean, he would have still got dirt thrown on him, but it wouldn't have been like it is right now. But
well, yeah,
because
he had to, yeah, exactly.
But because Trump came in, you know, guns blazing, they were like, no. We can't. He's a loose cannon. We need to get rid of him. And from before he was even sworn in, they did everything in their power to disrupt and destroy his presidency. Even to this day, I'm watching CNN. They can't stop talking about Trump. In fact, I want you guys to do this research on your own. Go to CNN. Remember, Trump's been out of office for I don't know how many months. But go to CNN. See how many
articles. We're approaching a year.
See how many articles there are on Trump. It's ridiculous. Leave the guy alone.
Yeah, even level-headed Democrats, you have to realize that there's so much going on in the country. Why are you still talking about Donald Trump? The border's a mess. Afghanistan's a mess.
Gas prices out the roof.
The economy's a mess. Yeah, the gas is out of control.
Inflation.
Why are we still talking about Donald Trump? Think about it. Why?
That. Donald Trump right now is doing nothing for me. He's doing nothing for my gas prices. He's doing nothing for how much you got to pay for bacon. He's doing nothing for the border where you're letting all these people come in unvaccinated, you know, in the height of a pandemic. He's doing nothing about that. He's doing nothing for abortion laws that are being passed or not being passed or being
prosecuted
in the courts.
Nothing.
He's
and
doing
they still
nothing.
Are going at him.
And they're still talking about him.
Let me read you something real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm going to bounce around. People too scared to work last year get unemployment benefits, stimulus checks, and free housing. People who never stop working are getting fired and denied benefits.
Wow.
True or not true?
Wow.
You know? Someone just sent me that earlier. I wanted to read that. It's going to go on our Instagram page. But not to go back on the COVID thing, but just think about that. Think about what I just said. When you did nothing, you got everything. When you're out there doing all and helping, now you're getting fired. You know, like, come on. Look how backwards things are. And talking about Democrats, I've talked about an aunt of mine for a while now. She is Democrat. You know, sometimes I look at her and I scratch my head. Sometimes she say things that makes me think like, huh, that's weird. So I've told you before, she's Democrat, not for Planned Parenthood. Your mistake, you pay for it, taxpayers shouldn't pay for it. But that's a staple of the Democratic Party, Planned Parenthood. Was that free lunch? She's not a fan of it. Like, you get your lunch. You shouldn't have kids if you were not prepared to be a parent. Why are we paying for it? Why are the tax dollars paying for it? Again, a staple of Democrats. Have a bunch of kids, we'll take care of them. So she's one of these people that we, through me doing this, I realize she's not this whacked out liberal, except for
she's not an ideologue, right?
But except for she could not care less what Hillary Clinton has ever done at any way, shape, or form. Woman president first, everything else second, and that's a huge problem. Right. Forget a policy. Forget of anything, you know, tangible. It's hey, she's a woman. Women first.
She
loved that Obama was the first black president.
I can't.
Skin
can't,
color
I
has nothing to do.
And
think about those people
that.
from semi-conservative to Steve, super religious conservative. Skin color has nothing to do with presidency. Can you be good at the job?
Right.
Gender does nothing to do with it. Can you be good? Are you the right person? That's all that should matter.
Obama said a couple of days before the election, his first term,
yeah,
we are on the precipice of fundamentally transforming the United States. Transforming at a fundamental level the United States. I didn't need to hear anything else.
Yeah.
Who says it needs to be transformed at a fundamental level? There's nothing wrong with the United States. By virtue of him being the president, it proves there's nothing wrong with the United States. We are human beings who grow and mature and learn from our mistakes.
Yes.
And we have a governmental system that allows us to grow and mature and learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, you don't know you're doing something right unless you've done something wrong, so to speak.
I heard, it was Donald Trump. Someone sent me a snippet of Donald Trump who was going back and forth with a reporter. This is when he was president.
Yeah.
And there were the reporter was basically trying to justify taking down not Thomas Jefferson, but somebody.
One of the statues,
right? And then Donald Trump says, so when are you going to come after George Washington? When are you going to come after Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah.
He said this, right? And now you know that they want Thomas Jefferson
gone,
right?
Yeah.
But he said this while he was president. When are you going to come after these guys? Because they're always slave owners. Think about that for a second. I said this before in the podcast. I am who I am because of the good things and because of the bad things that I've done. But right now, I sit across from Billy right now, and we could be friends because of the good things and bad things. And and likewise for Billy as well.
And the good and bad things our forefathers did 200-300 years ago.
Exactly. Because of the good and bad that our forefathers did, we can sit across the table from each other right now.
And think about, just pay attention where you get your facts from is all.
And those are the things that we're saying. We're saying, like, look, for example, I got to throw this out there. And you know, I was going to, here we go. This whole voter suppression thing that's going on, have you paid any attention to it?
No.
Oh, my goodness. It is.
Well, I paid attention about a year ago when it was a hot topic.
Look, again, going back to CNN. When I tell you they can't get off Trump, right?
Yeah.
I can't tell you in the last week how many articles they wrote and how many TV spots that they've had where they had people pontificating, where they were saying that Trump is going to steal the election. Trump is going to steal the election. And I'm like, what do they mean, Trump? Because when I saw the articles, I wouldn't even read it. But then when I saw it on TV, I was like, let me listen in for a second. And they're saying that because of the voters' law, because 35 states decided to change how, or should I say, tighten up their voter rules, they say this is a form of voter suppression which is going to help the Republicans win the midterms. And they're calling this Trump stealing the election. Do you see what I mean? Do you see how diabolical this is? And they're putting this out in the airwaves. People are listening to this unbeknownst of the truth. And so I brought this up because you as a listener, do you think there's voter suppression? Do you think that these laws are voter suppression? And for the sake of argument, let's just say someone is listening to me right now and says, yes, I think it's voter suppression. Then I'm going to ask you, what is voter suppression? If you had to come up with a list and tell me what voter suppression would be, what is voter suppression? Do you even know the laws that are being put on the books? Do you even know the laws? I was listening to this thing with Ted Cruz, and next time I'll play it for you. He was interviewing this panelist. They tried to pass a law, a federal law, basically trying to federalize voting between the states, which I think is already unconstitutional. Not going to talk about the constitutionality of that, but they were trying to do it. And it didn't pass because the Republicans weren't down with it. But in this panel discussion that they were having, and they had witnesses, quote-unquote expert witnesses coming to talk about it, he went down the line one by one, and asked them, is coming up with voter rules voter suppression? Or should I say racist? Are the rules of Texas racist? Almost every person said yes, that is racist. And he said, asking for an ID is racist?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Asking for an ID is racist.
Well, listen, real quickly, because we're going to get back to Steve, but go to YouTube, look up Ami Horowitz, AmiHorowitz, how white liberals really view black voters. It's a 4-minute video. Go watch it. Because I showed this to Steve a while back.
It broke my heart.
Because these people are like, you know, they asked like one little white girl from, I think, Berkeley. You know, do you think asking for ID? Well, yeah, because, you know, most black people are criminals and they're in jail, so they don't have any rights. So, you know, they don't have an ID. That's what she thinks.
You have to go watch this. Nothing Billy's going to say is going
to
do it.
Yeah, you
justice.
Have to watch it.
You have to go watch
it. Ami Horowitz, AmiHorowitz, How White Liberals View Black Voters. He talks to the white liberals. He talks to black voters. Same questions. Shows them the videos of what people are saying about them. Just watch it.
It's eye-opening.
And for people who think, you know, you watch all these, we're going to help the black people or any minority group, they're disenfranchised. They're telling you that you are not good enough to make it. Like we're going to look at you first because your skin color, because if we leave you alone, you have no chance. They're telling you you're not good enough. You know, and Steve and I have talked about that before. Like you'll hear Steve once in a while bring it up, being the black guy that he is. And he talked about this video. It makes him mad. Steve's a nice guy, so he says breaks his heart. But for a person like me, it pisses him off. You could see it's not okay. They're basically telling you you're not good enough, so we're going to help you out. You know? Like, no, this is America. Anybody. Remember years ago, the homeless guy you see on YouTube with the radio voice? The guy made a whole bunch of money. This is America. A homeless guy on the side of the street talked with a nice voice, they gave him a contract.
This is
somewhere.
Local. This is Love 94. Yeah, Love 94. We're going back 20 years.
Yeah.
A janitor, a homeless guy, they heard his voice. You might be talking about a different story.
I'm talking about something else.
You're talking about a different story. But the story I'm talking about, literally a janitor went from being a janitor to the nighttime host for 20 years at Love 94. That's the country you live in.
Yeah.
My barber.
Use it to your advantage. Don't take, I give Steve, not, well, I don't give Steve crap. We started the show sitting outside. And the junk guys would drive around picking up the bulk pickup. I'm like, yo, these guys drive me crazy. But it's just, I don't want them rooting through my stuff. But to Steve's point, to what I'm going to say now, it's America. You take the copper, you take the tin, you bring it to the junkyard, you make money. You drive around an old beat up truck and it's no overhead and you make a bunch of extra money. It's America, man.
You gotta love it. They have the opportunity. Listen, my barber, the owner of the barbershop is Cuban, right? And he's a young guy, probably 35 to 40, somewhere in that neighborhood. My barber had to, his English is not that great, so my barber had to explain to me a story. The dude was in Cuba getting paid. He's an engineer in Cuba, but he couldn't even work. He couldn't even make enough money in Cuba to take care of his family, right? Yeah. So he ended up starting to learn how to cut hair. And he was getting paid up to 25 cents a haircut. Think about that for a second. Up to 25 cents a haircut. He found a way of making it over here. And the whole reason the story even came up is because I wanted to know how my barber got to his barbershop. Yeah. Right. And he said, well, the owner was here by himself for a long time before he brought someone else in. And he happened to be the guy. And I was like, what? Your owner opened the barbershop up by himself? So now I wanted to know the story.
Yeah.
So he tells him the story. He comes over here from Cuba. Engineer degree means nothing.
Yeah.
So now he has to like pick trash or something. I don't know what he was doing, but he was definitely not working as an engineer. And then he saw people getting their haircut and he saw what they were getting paid. And he's like, man, I can do that. I remember getting paid 25 cents as a college grad to cut hair. So he saved up until he got enough money, got himself a shop. And he worked that shop 7 days a week by himself with no other barber, built his business up until he could take on a barber. I'm looking at this guy. I don't want to go hug him because I'm like, you are the freaking American dream. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
And people now would expect to be given something.
That's what I'm talking about.
There is equal opportunity. But what you do with that opportunity, that's up to you. You can make it here. You know, look at those Modelo beer commercials, the tattoo artists, like those are maybe real. You can Google the people. They came from nothing. They found a skill. They did it. They worked hard. They pushed hard. And here they are now. They're successful. You can do that in America. And real quick, what Steve was saying about his degree came here. He's picking up garbage. I hope you guys aren't out there. See, America put him down. His degree wasn't worth anything in his own country. You know, he was over there doing nothing with it. So don't say, oh, the degree's not worth anything here. It wasn't worth anything there. Keep that in mind. And if you want to take a quick look at socialism or communism, Cuba can be a Caribbean paradise, and they're nothing because of how they run their country with their politics.
This whole
microcosm. Let's check it
this
out.
This whole equity thing. We don't. Equity is like a bad word, and you need to recognize it. Because
yes.
Equity and equality are two different things. Equity says everyone must get the same. That is nonsense. And coming from my Judeo-Christian background, I can tell you that's nonsense. I can show you scripture that says if you don't work, you don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that in the economy of God, he's not about equity. He gives everybody the same opportunity. The same opportunity. What you do with that opportunity is on you. And here we are trying to legislate equity, trying to give everybody their fair share. You know what happens with that? That means that the people at the top, the people who actually put all into it, this guy, this Cuban guy who came over here picking up trash and now he's got his own shop. He's all that hard work that he put in to get to the place where he's at. Now he's got to share it with the next person, the bum on the street who's doing nothing.
Yeah, no, man.
Who's not even trying.
No, the American dream is real. The American dream you have to work for. It's not given to you.
And sometimes it takes a generation. Sometimes you have to be the step that your child steps on and steps up to get to the next level.
I mean, look at Steve and I. I'm gonna shamelessly throw ourselves into that pot. We're starting a podcast. You know, we've been doing it for a few months, got a few episodes. When we were looking at how to start it, came out how to start it. You know, before the pandemic, let's say there's, you know, 50,000 podcasts in the country. After the pandemic, like that year off, there is 1.3 million English speaking podcasts. So around 50,000, let's even say 500,000. There's more than double in a year's time. So what are we doing trying to jump into that? Well, we're not quitters. We're going to try. Some people fizzle out. Some give up. They have the opportunity is equal. Is the drive there? They do, you know, 3 times a week. They go to 1 time a week. They go to, you know, once every couple of weeks, once a month, and they stop. Opportunity is equal, but they did not put in the maximum effort. Steve and I are dedicated to put in the maximum effort. We don't know if it's going to work, but it's not going to not work because we gave up.
Exactly.
It's going to not work just because that's how fate, you know, made it. We are not going to stop. So microcosm that or expand that out there to your life. You can do anything as long as you try. It may not work out, or it may. You don't know.
There's
what does Michael Jordan say?
Failing.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Exactly. But I guess the greater point that you're making, Billy, is that there's nothing wrong with failing.
No, because what you learn.
All have
what
to
is
fail.
Thomas Edison said about the light bulb? He didn't fail 200 something plus times. He learned 200 plus ways not to make a light bulb.
Amen.
You know?
Well said. Well said. And we live in a country that.
It allows for that.
You. It allows for it, and it rewards you if you are successful.
The country we currently are living in, the country they're trying to get us to,
they're trying
does
to strip
not allow
it away.
That.
They're trying to take this away.
They're trying to be dream killers.
Guys, I'm coming to you like Billy said, as a black man, and I'm telling you, it's a lie. I know so many black men who are successful, who probably who are listening to me right now. That I've grown up with.
Well, Steve,
who are
do you
successful.
Work for anybody?
No, I don't.
Who do you work for?
Myself.
You know,
I mean,
do you have a mic so I can drop it? Like, I mean, come on.
The point, all we're trying to say to you is that don't buy into the rhetoric. I know one of my buddies, I won't mention his name because he might have someone who listens to us and I don't want him to know, but he's got a friend, wealthy, or does very well for himself.
Yeah.
Super liberal. Who thinks that they need to put hand out? That person, my buddy's friend, is the person on that YouTube video that you sent everybody to. He is one of those white liberals who think black people are nothing.
Yeah.
That black people are all criminals. That black people don't have licenses. You know, black people can't do anything. They can't read. He's one of those people. And I want you to understand, that is the most racist thing. Racism is not... If you had to tell me, what would I rather deal with? Would I rather deal with someone who's just openly saying, you know what, I don't like black people? Or would I rather deal with someone who says, I love you black people, but do me a favor, I know you can't read, so let me read this for you. What would I prefer to deal with? I'm telling you, without a doubt, 100 times out of 100, give me the person who's open about his racism and telling me that he has a problem. In fact, I've had conversations with racists, multiple conversations with racists. who says like, man, Steve, I have my issues with black people. And, really? Tell me what your issues are. And we're able to talk about it. And some of them, by the end of the conversation, they turn. And other of them might say something to the effect, well, you might be different, which is a racist comment to itself.
Yeah,
but the bottom line is, but I'm willing to engage with them. As long as you're not disrespecting me, as long as you're not coming with me with hoodies on and burning crosses, we can talk because I believe in conversation, I have an opportunity to change your mind. I'm not scared of that conversation.
Yeah, somebody who says, I don't like you because you're black might be ignorant. They might have heard something growing up or saw something, never got an opportunity to talk to somebody, see, you're just a person. The person who says, yeah, I like black people as long as, you know, they stay away or I can help them because they don't know what they're doing, they're not any better. That's systemic, what they keep talking about the country.
Right.
That person thinks that way for a reason, and you're not going to be able to change their mind because they look at you as less than a human being.
Right.
The person who says, I don't like you because your skin color, they may not know any better. You talk to them, oh man, we all bleed red. Okay, I get it now. Just engage the conversation. People are people. Nobody is perfect.
Nobody.
Education fixes that. Communication fixes it. And if it can't be fixed or you don't get the desired result that you want from that person, turn and walk away.
Yes.
They're going to turn and walk the other way. No harm, no foul, and you're done.
Yes.
It seems simple.
Stop with the collectivism. Stop trying to group people together. Everybody's an individual. Everybody's an individual. And give every individual the opportunity.
You know, with sports, it takes a team to win, but an individual to lose. So we need everybody in this country to get it figured out to, if you want to push past racism, push past all these isms, truly unite, find out what the biggest issue is, work it out, and move forward. Now, you're going to get 100% of people? No. But you're going to get a vast majority who think and feel the same way, and then those vast majority can outgrow, outlast the little tiny cells of nonsense,
right,
like weeds. You keep your grass cut low, the grass expands, it chokes out the weeds. Get the people with common sense out there talking and moving and making noise, and eventually the nonsense will get drowned out.
Right.
The problem is it's the reverse in this country. The level-headed people stay quiet while the crazy spouts out the top of their lungs all the wrong stuff.
And I'm going to jump on that, Billy, because this is my admission. I can't stand when I can't freaking talk.
Me neither, buddy.
Oh, man.
Admission, admiration.
Admonition.
This ammunition?
Admonition.
That's not even a word.
It is a word. Don't have me look it up because we're running out of time, but I'll just say it. This is my desire that we stop being quiet. They've tried to mute us. This whole vaccine thing and wearing masks, they're trying to mute us. They're trying to silence us. I watch and read way too much CNN and I see the condescension where they know that they're right, and they talk down and belittle anyone who's not on their side.
Yes.
And I can understand how intimidating that must be, where you don't want to be talked down to and you don't want to be looked down upon. And so just for the sake of getting along so that you can be popular or so that you could be with the in crowd, you stay quiet or you buy in or make it seem like you buy into their nonsense. But I'm telling you, you get nothing for that. You're dying a million deaths by living that way. Stand up and speak. You don't got to be mean. You don't have to be vitriolic. You don't have to be a jerk about it. But you need to be bold and courageous.
Yes.
And just speak, and give them something that they don't know.
Arm yourself with knowledge. We talk about it all the time. You're gonna make mistakes. We make mistakes. People make mistakes. Do your best with what you have. Try to get factual information before you go out there and start telling people what is and what's not. You know, don't be part of the problem. Be the person who's doing their best to be part of the solution.
Right.
I've said that last show. We're going to probably use that going forward. Be part of the solution. You know, people say it all the time, but it's true. There's a problem. Are you going to contribute to the problem, or are you going to be part of how to fix it?
Guess what happened last night? So Nathan and Sarah are playing chess.
Yeah.
And something happened where Nathan did something. I can't remember. But Sarah said, hey, man, I'm responsible for what I hear, not for what you say.
I love it.
No, you didn't hear what I just said.
No, the reverse of what I said. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I heard it. But listen, so I'll put it like this. It's still, you formed a thought. You have a responsibility. That's it.
Man, I was like,
I'm all for it.
Everybody was at the, I mean, the two were over there. Janice and I were at the dining room table.
Why would Michael's you say it backwards?
No, she said it, not me.
But why would she say it incorrectly?
I don't.
Was he trying to say, I'm responsible for what I say, not for what you hear?
No. He said something that bothered her. And so she wanted to let him know that what he said bothered her. And, you know, your saying is, you know, hey, don't let it bother you. But she's saying, no, it does bother me. And that's how it came out. I mean, she fired it out. And I was like, what?
I like that.
So we got fans of the show. What can I tell you? We got fans of, we got fans of Billy. I don't know if they're fans of the show. They're fans of Billy. Let's put it that way.
That's funny to me. Don't worry. When you get your,
No. I'm good. Listen, I'm content. I love what I do.
Listen,
I love
everyone likes the loud mouth in the corner, you know?
I think they like.
I say that because I'm literally in the corner.
They like the.
I can't sit where Steve sits because I have a huge problem with my back to open areas.
See, listen, you know what? Jesus freed me of that, man.
Well, he didn't free me of that.
I know. I'm telling you, look what you're missing out on, man.
No, I can't do it.
I live my life ready to die at any moment.
I'd live it ready to live it.
I have no problems living and I enjoy life, but I'm okay with dying.
I'm not. It puts a big damper on my life plans. So I'm good with where I'm at now.
Oh my goodness. Oh man.
So I looked up real quick. I tried to find the average pass that I talked about Herbert and Jackson. Because they're talking about how they both average like 400 yards a game.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're doing
a
1 yard dump off and they run it 40 yards, they count as a 40 yard pass, where no, it's a 1 yard dump off. I'm not a big stat person because I do understand numbers lie. You know, we've had the conversation before, which I have to stop saying. Dan Marino, all these passing yards, when you're losing, you pass the ball. So he's a perennial loser.
Well, no.
100%.
No.
20 years ago.
Their offense was totally different. They didn't have a running game. They had no running game at all.
Because he had a quarterback who could pass the ball all the time.
But if they built a team around him passing, you can't say that, you know, when you're losing all the time.
But they didn't.
They didn't what?
They didn't. They. It's documented.
They didn't what?
What Dan Marino calls an audible, it's to check out of a run and to a pass.
Hold on. First of all, understand the prime of Dan Marino's life. I watched his game. I watched him play. And I'm telling you, he came to a good team.
Didn't he have Mercury Morris and those guys? Was that back with
they made a Super Bowl. Yes, but that was over. Exactly. No, hold on. That was with Greasy, right? Mercury Morris was a Greasy. Sorry. Yeah. I don't believe they only had 1,000 yard running back in the entire time.
You hear my smile? You can't run the ball when your quarterback passes 50 times a game.
They can't run the ball because they couldn't run the ball.
Because he was always passing. No. You're right. I agree with you, Steve. You don't know anything about football. Good job, man.
No, sir.
But so I was looking all this stuff up. Okay. And again, I'm not a stats guy. Again, numbers lie for sure. You know? But look, like, I don't look at these stats. And I'm looking at, you know, CAY, percent, like, come on, man. I don't do math, bro. One plus one is two and I'm done. I don't need anything else after that.
Right.
So I was trying to get it figured out. And I am of the generation where I still prefer email and phone calls than text messages. Well, I like text messages too, but I don't do stuff on my phone. I write it down. I don't take notes on the phone. I write it on a sheet of paper.
Right.
I look up stuff on the computer desktop with the mouse and the keyboard on the big screen. I do not look up stuff on my internet phone. Okay. I don't do that. Okay. So I was looking on the phone. I'm like, you know what, man, this ain't going to work for me. I need to click it, highlight it, show me the little gray box that says what I'm highlighting.
The suspense is killing me. Yeah. What did you find out?
Nothing. I didn't get a chance to do
it. Okay.
I need to do that because I looked it up before we started. I'm like, man, I can't get this figured out. Yeah. If I'm rambling, shut me down.
No, not rambling. I just want to know. I couldn't figure it out
because all the numbers look like 8.2, 8.7, 7.9. All of them were in the same area, but I don't know what stat that was because it was encoded in some ridiculous.
So you're saying you think there is a stat where run after catch?
Oh, 100%. They have pass in the air. They have run after catch. They have most attempts deep, like 20 yards, 15 yards. They have all that stuff.
Okay.
So I just wanted to see what it was.
And listen, I actually thought about this when I listened to the show today. Are you sure? Because you said that they drop into a zone. He throws into a zone.
Yeah, he does.
And my thing is, with so much run after catch, that just not even watching any film, it makes me think that he's throwing them open.
No, he's not throwing them open. No. He throws behind almost every time he throws the ball.
Okay.
You throw in the zone, you got a guy 10 yards to the left, 10 yards to the right, so you have a 20-yard gap. This guy stands in the middle, you catch and turn around and run, you're going to get 10 yards by the time you tackle.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, he's not throwing anybody open. Most quarterbacks now, they all throw to the zone. Very few throw a receiver open. It's just better football. Like Brady for years. Well, no. Brady didn't lead anybody.
What's better football?
The 5 yard in, you get it to the short, quick guy. He's in the zone, standing there, catches it, and turns around for 6-7 yards. Something like a run play. That was Brady's bread and butter for like 10 years. Wes Welker.
Okay.
The only time Brady ever threw more than like 25 touchdowns in a season was a Randy Moss game.
Right.
Other than that, it was doing just enough to win the game. Hold on.
How many touchdowns did he do last year?
Oh, I'm talking when he was like with the New England stuff.
Okay.
Bruce Arians is, we're going to go ball out. Okay. You know, he's pass happy. Under Belichick, it was, we're not looking for stats. We're not doing any of this stuff. We're winning the game and we're moving on. His first three Super Bowls were won by a field goal.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to go out there and do what we're going to get it. We're going to manage it. Our kicker's the best ever. We're going to get down to the 20, kick a field goal. None of this pass happy, none of this stuff. It was what's best for the team. But anyway, I'm going to find some more stats. I might do it for the 10 minutes with Billy or come back here and talk about it.
Okay. I know that there's so much. Like, I came with a show sheet. I had a lot to talk about. I know we're winding it down. I do want to say this on the way out the door about working out.
Yeah.
I got a pet peeve right now.
What's that?
So I go to this gym, which, by the way, my son is paying for because I gave
him inadvertently paying for it.
Yeah. Well, he wanted to use my garage, so he's got to pay for my gym.
Oh, membership. I thought it was the dishes.
No.
Gotcha.
No,
okay.
No. Speaking of the dishes, things got a little hairy a couple of weeks ago where they were just laying money down on the table. They didn't care. And
I may have warned you about that.
Well, no, listen. My solution to this was I was going to bump it up to $10. I was going to find that price point where they couldn't bear it anymore.
Ooh.
And to me, it's like I want it.
Do I have to talk to them about forming a union?
They can form a union in their own home. Yes, they can. But Janice, she got a hold of this. She's like, no, I had to tell her, listen, I don't care about the money. I don't know what's wrong with you. This is just, she's like, listen, you're not, she was really upset about it. So I had to crank down and say, like, look, you guys are washing the dishes.
Yeah, because I get what you're trying to do.
Right.
You know, listen, do this or do this.
Right.
The problem is I'm not doing it where I mentioned to you, I believe anyway. Sometimes you have to do what you don't want to do, regardless of if you can get a way out. Sometimes
right.
You just have to do it.
Right.
You know, and you were giving them a way to just, as long as they have money, I never have to worry about doing anything.
So,
you know?
So
throwing money at the problem, kind of like a group of people we don't particularly care for.
Right.
You know? Elitists. FYI, those
yes.
who don't pick up on that.
The E word. I haven't made any money in about 2 weeks, so just put it in.
Are the dishes done?
The dishes are done, yes. The dishes are done. Oh no, I'm not playing around. I'm going into the room and saying,
It sounded like it was a fun thing, but also a realistic life experience. Like, listen, sometimes you gotta pay for stuff. If you can't get it done, there's different ways. But if you're choosing to be lazy,
I set the bar
that's not the goal.
I set the bar too low. I mean, $5 to them, $5 is nothing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, McDonald's costs more than $5, you know?
Yeah,
so
$5
was nothing. So I am going to have a family meeting. I'm going to circle back and say it's going to be $10 moving forward. But all I can tell you is that the first round of this, you know, you
didn't plant your flag.
Yeah.
You're open to change.
Yes. Yes.
And people.
So listen, going back to working out.
Oh yeah.
And I'll leave it with this
okay.
in terms of what I want to say. There's a lot more I want to talk about working out, but I just leave it at this.
Gotcha.
So I go to a gym. They have three Smith machines.
Yeah.
And you know what a Smith machine is, but just for the sake of those out there who might not know, it is a machine that allows you to work out as if you were using free weights. That's the best way for me to explain it. There's bench press, squats, shoulder press. There's a couple of other workouts that you can do using this machine, and it gives you the feel of using free weights. But because it's a machine, you have the safety and support of the machine.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I grew up, this didn't exist. Everything was free weights. And now, almost no gym that I go to do I find real free weights when it comes to the barbell. So you have to use a Smith machine. They only have three. But I'm okay. I work out early in the morning. I'm fine. One of the machines is broken. So now we have two. And this is my pet peeve in terms of gym etiquette. There's this guy.
I think I know where you're going.
I would say he's probably like the size of Conor McGregor, smaller guy, you know?
Yeah.
But he wears these muscle shirts where you can see his arms and all that stuff. Not particularly big arms, but he's, you know, cut. When he gets on the Smith machine, I'm in the gym for at least an hour, right? Part of that time I run. From the time I come to the time I leave, he's on the same machine. And I'm like, I want to fight, man. I want to fight. I'm upset. I'm like, dude, how can you hog the machine all this time? I had to totally change my workout and start doing other things because I can't get to the Smith machine. The first couple of weeks I was there, no problem. There's three.
Why don't you ask them, when's this other one going to get fixed?
I did.
Okay.
And they told me that they have to wait for corporate to send someone in.
Oh, yeah, this thing's never going to get
fixed. And now, because of that, I've looked around. There's like two other machines. One's a leg machine. One's a ab machine. No, one's an arm machine.
So it sounds like they're not coming to fix one. They need a slew of problems. Yeah,
when you hit this
in.
Number, we'll come and take a look. So in the meantime, I'm suffering. And in the meantime, this dude. So listen, and this is the funny part. And this is my drop the mic moment. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come earlier. I'm going to freaking get up an hour earlier. It's no skin off my back.
Yeah.
Work out. When this guy comes, he'll see me working out, you know, and I'll take my time. No, I wasn't going to take my time. But bottom line is, you know, I'm going to one up him, right?
Yeah.
I get there today 45 minutes earlier. He was there.
Maybe he thought, I'm hogging this thing. Let me get there a little early to free it up for everybody.
I actually thought that.
I thought you were going to say, I get there early, I'm working out, and he comes to me and asks me to hurry up and move. I thought you were going to say that. Like, no, you believe it?
You would have saw me on nightly news. Man get arrested for going.
What? That's awesome.
No. But anyway, he got there early, and it's like, wow.
I thought you were going to bring up, like, the sweaty people not wiping it down, all that kind of stuff.
No, I don't
care
about that. I don't care about that at all.
I care about that big time.
Really? Well, you're a germaphobe.
I'm not laying on your disgusting sweat. You're a germaphobe. Wipe it off.
No, listen. There's a difference between, like, when I run, it's like.
Well, no, I'm saying you can sweat.
Right.
Wipe it off, and I'll lay right back down.
Right.
But a lot of people, they get up and keep going. They think their shirt's going to soak it up. Like, right. No, bro. Get in there and wipe it down.
Droplets I have a problem with. Moisture and other problems.
It's all gross. All right, anything else?
No, I'm good, man.
All right. Whenever you guys listen to this, enjoy. Most importantly, share it, please. I showed my mom how to share it today.
Good job.
She came by, brought up Spotify.
I think your mom is so cute. And she came today, we're sitting out there talking, and she comes with, what did she come with?
Burger King? I think Wendy's.
Wendy's. She comes with food. She brings a little boy food. You know what I'm trying to say? And like, okay, mom, we're going inside to eat with you.
Now, she came. She came over to see the pool. Yeah. She hasn't seen it.
The pool's not even ready yet.
Doesn't matter. No one's seen it except for my dad. Like, I don't send pictures,
right.
The plans, nothing. I'm very secretive, Amy and I, about everything we do.
Right.
We don't tell people anything.
Right.
She's like, I want to see. You didn't tell me about it yet. So she's the first 20 minutes we're here, 10 minutes we're here. She's out on the patio looking at everything. Like, okay. Mom, the food's going to get cold. Oh, I don't care about that. I came to see the pool. So otherwise, the reason she showed up, she wanted to get back there and see what was going on.
Okay. It was very cute. All I can tell you, it was very cute. She came with her food.
Listen, if it was cute, she'd got me the number 6 spicy sandwich with the fries. And said, all right, I have $4. She's looking at the 4 for $4. My mother is frugal. All right? She's not getting me the number 2 double patty, the triple, and the hidden menu, the home run for Wendy's, a 4-pounder. No one knows about that.
Right.
The 4-stack. It's
all,
called.
All Wendy's or just that one?
All of them. I don't know if they still do it, but every menu, every fast food puts the hidden menu. It's called the home run. 4 patties.
Right.
She's not bringing me the 4 patties. She's bringing me the 4 for $4.
But she probably doesn't know about it.
She didn't offer it. She didn't say, hey, do you want the triple stack?
She didn't ask you what you want.
Yeah.
She
it's like, I got $4.
Right. Here's one thing.
Which I'm okay with. But you saw these probably a small drink.
Yeah, I did see that.
I mean,
that.
Come on, man.
I did see that.
Wendy's mediums are like extra large among everybody else, which is why I don't like eating McDonald's. Their mediums are smalls. Everyone else's mediums are extra large.
This is what's interesting. And this, we got to leave it with this.
Yeah, yeah.
But you say your mom is frugal. And we all know about your dad with the his makeshift stuff.
Yeah.
So, man, perfect marriage, man.
You know, it is. And I'm fiscally responsible as well.
Oh, my gosh.
So, anyway, whenever you listen to this, please share it to anybody and everybody. You know what the share button looks like, little square with the arrow, share, text message, put it on your Facebook, put it on your Instagram. Share this stuff to people.
Especially people who don't agree with you.
Yeah, say, listen, I heard this. I want to hear your thoughts about it. Listen to it, then call me back and let's talk.
Amen.
Share it, please. And then whenever you listen to it, morning, noon, night, hope you enjoy.
Peace.